Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and from our dear Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. The text of God's word for our special meditation this morning is recorded in Matthew chapter 12, reading from verse 46 through verse 50 as follows. While he yet talked to the people, behold, his mother and his brethren stood without, desiring to speak with him. Then one said unto him, behold, thy mother and thy brethren stand without, desiring to speak with thee. But he answered and said unto him that told him, who is my mother, and who are my brethren? And he stretched forth his hand toward his disciples, and said, behold, my mother and my brethren. For whosoever shall do the will of my Father which is in heaven, the same is my brother and sister and mother. This is our text. In the name of Jesus Christ, our blessed Savior, and the only head of his dear church, beloved hearers of his wonderful word. You realize, of course, that society in general insists on living contrary to its own professed family values. One out of every two marriages ends in divorce. Many married couples don't want to have any children at all. Other couples don't want to get married, but prefer rather simply to live together and to enjoy all the privileges, but none of the responsibilities of the married estate. Children, many of them from babyhood up, are being raised not by their parents, but by grandparents and other surrogates, and even by complete strangers. The traditional family, as it was intended by God from the very beginning to be structured and to function, is literally falling apart. And then we wonder, what's the matter with society today? And yet, as a so-called building block of society, the family unit is still prized, praised, and perpetuated by many as the ideal to which all should strive. The medium through which one's name and heritage are passed along from generation to generation. And the basic group to which one's unstinting loyalty is expected. After all, as the saying goes, blood is thicker than water. Now, our text for today speaks of family too, of parents, of brothers and sisters, of a different kind, to a different degree. And it provides us with the answer to an important riddle, a riddle of spiritual significance to every one of us, a riddle which you have heard from me before, especially concerning Christian fellowship. If blood is thicker than water, as in the earthly family unit, what is thicker than blood? The Lord Jesus himself gives us the answer here in our text for this morning. Where this sacred truth is revealed, namely that we, by faith, are members of Christ's own family, in which we enjoy a one-of-a-kind relationship with him and with one another as to family ties, family life, family loyalty, and even family fortune. Our text tells us that while Jesus was talking to the people, specifically to the Pharisees, concerning his coming resurrection as the ultimate sign of his messiahship, behold, his mother and his brethren stood without. That is, at the outer edge of the crowd. They didn't seem to be in a building on that occasion, desiring to speak with him. Then one said unto him, behold, thy mother and thy brethren stand without, desiring to speak with thee. Jesus' earthly family, including Mary, his mother, had a matter that they considered to be of sufficient importance to warrant this interruption of his preaching and teaching. But since they couldn't get to him because of the crowd, Luke tells us, they sent someone to him with a message. Now, whether the brethren of the Lord Jesus were his natural siblings, namely brothers and sisters born to Mary and Joseph later on in their marriage, or whether they were step-brothers and sisters, or even cousins, all of which are possibilities according to the Greek word used in the original of our text, it's not really important to Jesus' point here in our text. For his contrast is between natural relatives and spiritual relatives, as we shall presently see. Jesus, however, took full advantage of the interruption to comment on this, not to yield to the demands of the family for an immediate ear to what they had in mind to talk with him about, but to teach the messenger and the people assembled a sacred truth. And so he asked the messenger, "Who is my mother? To whom are you referring when you say my mother is standing outside waiting to see me? Who are my brethren?" It was a probing thought question intended not to show any disrespect for his dear mother, nor even for his earthly relatives, as if he didn't care at all about what they wanted to talk to him about, but to draw attention to the contrast between natural relatives and spiritual ones, and to show the difference of the in the relationship between them. And so he stretched forth his hand toward his disciples, to whom he was not in any way related by blood, nor even by marriage, and said, "Behold, my mother and my brethren. For whosoever shall do the will of my Father which is in heaven, the same is my brother and sister and mother." Now, blood may be thicker than water here in this world, making family ties by blood or even by marriage strong and unlikely to be ignored or glossed over. But family ties of the spiritual kind are the ones that really count when the chips are down. Family ties of the spiritual kind count with Jesus. What are those ties based on? Jesus says, "Whosoever shall do the will of my Father which is in heaven, the same is my real relative. The same is a member of my real family. And remember what the will of his Father in heaven is, that ye believe on him whom he hath sent, Jesus says in John 6:29. That is the Father's foremost or primary will, namely that all men be saved and come unto the knowledge of the truth. Confiding in his Son, confiding in his Son's merits alone for salvation, totally apart from any consideration of their own worthiness or even of their own relationship to Jesus here in this world. That's how a person becomes a member of God's family, a brother and a sister, yea, even a mother of the Lord Jesus, cradling him as we do at Christmas time in arms of faith. For ye are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus, Paul writes through the Galatians chapter 3. By faith. Faith in the blood and righteousness of Christ, by which we poor, undeserving sinners lay hold on God's gracious forgiveness, which he declared for all the world for Jesus' sake. Faith. Faith by which we are admitted into God's family as adopted sons and daughters and heirs with Christ, our elder brother. Faith in Jesus as our Savior is the family tie that binds us Christians together into the holy relationship that continues long after our earthly ties have been broken in death. It's an eternal relationship from which nothing can separate us, the Apostle Paul says. Nothing can separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus. Even though our earthly parents desert us, even though our earthly brothers and sisters forsake us, as the psalmist writes, Psalm 27, verse 10. But our one-of-a-kind relationship with the Lord Jesus only begins with our family ties of faith in him as our Savior. It then continues in our family life together as we demonstrate or show the fruit or the result, blessed result, of being God's children and Christ's brethren. The fruit is evident, of course, first of all, in our unity together. The unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace, Paul writes, Ephesians 4:3. The unity according to which there are no divisions among us. The unity according to which we all speak the same thing, according to God's precious word, which is our family heritage, according to which we are perfectly joined together in the same mind, in the same attitude, and in the same judgment, 1 Corinthians 1:10. The unity by which we are also preserved in the one true and saving faith by our diligent use of that word. That right away distinguishes a true member of Christ's family from just a talker. Our blessed family life, which we enjoy together, includes then also the practice of our unity in joint worship and in joint prayer to to our Heavenly Father. For as brethren of one family, we can confidently address God, address our Heavenly Father, as dear children ask their dear Father in Jesus' name. As Luther tells us in the introduction to the Lord's Prayer. Walking together, agreed. Agreed to do what? Agreed to do His will. And agreed to walk in His ways according to His word. That's evidence. Our joint service to Jesus' blessed church is another part of our family life. Just as happy and devoted children delight in serving their earthly parents here in this world. It would be utterly inconsistent for us, claiming to be members of Jesus' family, professing love for Him as our dear Savior, to refuse Him cheerful, selfless, and grateful service. Both our offerings and the work of our hands bear evident witness to what is in our hearts. They prove the sincerity of our love for Him who first loved us. And let us not fail to mention, as part of our family life, as Christ's brethren, our readiness, yea, our eagerness to be of help to one another. Doing good unto all men, the apostle says, but especially unto them who are of the household of faith. The members of our spiritual family, serving one another in love, using our precious Lord Jesus as the perfect example of that love and the perfect motivator of our love to Him and to our brethren as the one who loved us first. Now, the riddle that we considered briefly before brings us to the third characteristic, which shows membership in Jesus' family to be a one-of-a-kind relationship. If blood is thicker than water, which almost everyone agrees to be a true maxim here in this world, what is thicker than blood? We're speaking, of course, of family loyalty. Some people would make just about any sacrifice rather than go against their family. They might give up personal happiness and fulfillment. They might give up individual freedom to choose their own spouse because their family is against the one that they've already chosen. They might give up opportunities in education and intellectual growth and the like if the family says it doesn't pay to go to school, so we're not going to send you to school. All for the sake of loyalty to the earthly family. Now, such loyalty is limited, however, by the Lord Jesus Himself. For it never dare exceed the loyalty that a Christian owes to his Savior. He that loveth father or mother more than me is not worthy of me, he says. Are we to love our fathers and our mothers here in this world? Honor and respect them as God's own representatives? Yes, of course, but not more than we love our Savior. He that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And yet parents often display disloyalty to the Lord Jesus, to his word in church, simply because of what their children want to do. When it comes to the choice between loyalty to the earthly family and loyalty to our spiritual family, there simply is no real choice at all. For the Bible says we ought to obey God rather than men when it comes to a choice between them. Family loyalty in the household of faith, moreover, is absolute loyalty. Loyalty to Jesus, to his word, and to his church above all else. For what is a man profited if he should gain the whole world and yet lose his own soul? What shall a man give in exchange for his soul? A true Christian, a member of Jesus' family, has his priorities set for him by the head of the clan, Jesus himself, who says, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Continue in my word. Don't just do your own thing. Confess me before men, no matter what men may think of you. Beware of false prophets which come to you in sheep's clothing. Don't cuddle up to them. Avoid them. Follow me." There are no two ways about it, my dear hearers. There is no room for compromise in the family loyalty that we owe to Jesus. "He that is not with me is against me. He that gathereth not with me scattereth." Now we also owe loyalty, of course, to our family members, to our fellow Christians in the household of faith. Certainly we may have acquaintances outside of this spiritual family circle. Perhaps people who never were Christians in the first place, as far as we can tell. We may still be in contact with those who once were members of the family with us, but who left home like the prodigal son to seek their own way, to find their own truth, to do their own thing. We know who they are. We may indeed have those to whom we refer to as friends here in this world who are erring and not truly following the Savior's word. And there we have to be most careful indeed, lest we divide our loyalties, divide our absolute loyalties, hoping to satisfy at one and the same time those whom we call friends, who on the outside, who are outside of the family, and those we call brethren within the family circle. There is a friend, Solomon writes in the Proverbs, there is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. Closer than a brother by birth. And that is a true Christian friend, who is a brother of the Lord Jesus. Loyalty between Christian brethren, like that between David and Jonathan, is a precious gift of God, a gift that we should cultivate and value above all the other friendships that we may develop between us and other people here in this world. And that belongs to family loyalty. True, God-pleasing fellowship with which no earthly friendship here in this world can be compared. What is thicker than blood? Why, it is the mutual trust and loyalty that only Christian brethren can have for one another. Born of and patterned after the perfect loyalty of the Lord Jesus to us. Hereby perceive we the love of God, the Apostle John writes in his first epistle. Hereby perceive we the love of God, because He laid down His life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. But now finally, in the fourth place, there is our family fortune to be considered as we reflect upon the one-of-a-kind relationship we have with members of Jesus' family. And this is the factor of which we often lose sight, because the family fortune is an intangible fortune. You can't measure it in terms of dollars and cents. By faith in Jesus, preserved in us by the Holy Spirit of God through the means of grace, we are joint heirs with Christ. What in the world does that mean? Joint heirs. Heirs of what? What do we have as members of Christ's family that we otherwise would be without? Think of the intangibles. First of all, we have peace with God, which is ours by faith in Jesus Christ as our Savior, Romans 5:1. Peace of conscience, knowing that our sins have been forgiven for Christ's sake. Knowing that God's unilateral forgiveness of the whole world is ours, because we are members of the family. Then, of course, there's the assurance of God's abiding love to us under the sufferings of this present time. Right now, we might think we're suffering more than usual under these COVID pandemic conditions. But the Bible assures us that God loves those whom He chastens. He scourges every son whom He receiveth. As members of Christ's family, there's comfort in times of sadness. There's contentment in time of need. There's strength in time of temptation. There's patience in time of tribulation. There is the reassurance of our Savior's own word when doubts assail us. Fear thou not, for I have redeemed thee. I have called thee by thy name. Thou art mine. These all are fringe benefits, as it were, of membership in Jesus' family. All of which we have, all of which we enjoy by faith in Him as our Savior. But the greatest of all is the inheritance that we have to look forward to at the end of our short pilgrimage through this vale of tears. The inheritance of the saints in light, St. Paul calls it in Colossians 1, verse 12. Purchased and won for us by Christ. What is it? What is this inheritance? Again, not measurable in terms of dollars and cents, to be sure. It's the crown of everlasting life in the mansions of heaven above. It is a place in the glory of the heavens which our dear elder brother is even now preparing for us individually. It's a kingdom which has been set aside as our inheritance from the foundation of the world already before you and I were ever born, before you and I were ever received into Christ's family by faith in him. What a family fortune is ours as members of the household of faith. All as a free gift of God, purchased and won for us by Christ, our elder brother, not with gold or silver, not with a tangible fortune, but with his holy, precious blood and with his innocent suffering and death. A fortune received by faith in his merits alone for our salvation. How blessed are we, beloved brethren, that God in eternity already chose us to be members of his family, and in time called us to saving faith by his precious gospel, that he enlightened us with his gifts, giving us not only the saving faith in Christ our Savior, but giving us the ability now to trust and believe, to rejoice and take comfort in him, the head of the family, that he has sanctified and kept us in this true faith through his precious word, so that we can be confident of this thing. When he comes again on the last day to judge the living and the dead, we can assuredly see him stretching forth his hand to each and every one of us, as he did to the disciples here in our text, telling us, "Behold, my mother and my brethren." God grant that to each and every one of us for our dear elder brother's sake. Amen. And the peace of God, which passeth all human understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through abiding faith in Christ your Savior unto life everlasting. Amen.